Well, praise God. I have to say, I have had tremendous opposition personally this week. Just raise your hand if you've experienced any kind of opposition. But it's been an unusual week. You know, as believers, you know, you run into some opposition fairly regularly anyway, because he's anti-Christ and anti-Christ in us. You know, he's anti the anointing. He's anti the anointing in us. But this week, I tell you, it has gone to another level. It has ratcheted up. And I didn't share any of this with San or Pastor Judith. And then on Friday, we were chatting. I just said something. Anyway, the conversation got going. And it turns out they both have had this. It's feeling, I felt like an olive. Do you know what I mean? Or a grape, just crushed. You know, and what's in you comes out. If it's Jesus, it'll come out. And if it isn't, flesh will come out. But just this surprising level of opposition. And by the show of those hands, a lot of you in this room have felt that as well. And it can manifest in so many different ways. I've just felt unusually tired, you know. Like, can't get enough sleep. I'm going to bed early, but they're not, you know, sleeping anyway. Disrupted sleep, disturbed dreams, that kind of thing. And just like a heaviness. Do you know what I mean? Like I've got a chainmail cloak on. And I know to throw it off with praise. I've been doing that. But it kind of keeps coming back on. And when PJ shared that, San shared that, there's a lot of you here in this room saying, do you know what? I've had a bit of that as well. We need to be quicker on the uptake and think, hang on a minute here. There's some resistance. You know, if you think in battle terms, when you're pushing back a battle line, you're going to encounter some resistance. And it took me, I don't know, maybe I'm just a bit slow with these things, but it took me a while to kind of join the dots and realize we're pushing out as a church to hold these healthy youth sessions, which are starting next week. Really, we're reaching for our destiny in this. It's big for us. You know, I was sharing a bit about it in the prayer meeting. This is Peter out of the boat on the water stuff, you know. Naturally speaking, it's a risky thing to do. Because if God doesn't show up and heal, then it compounds unbelief in people. Very last thing we want to happen. So we're saying, Jesus, we believe you. We're taking you at your word and we are launching out. In the name of Jesus, saying, you heal. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you're going to do it for them. And those of you who have been around here for a while will remember, hopefully remember, James Maloney came. It's probably going back about 10 years ago now. Do you remember him? Just this huge American with a big voice and a big gift, actually. There aren't that many, but he actually stands in the office of a prophet. People, we can all prophesy, but he actually, that's his calling. That's like his main thing. And what he prophesied over us as a church, he called us a gate church. And he was relating to Genesis, we're going to read it, Genesis 28, you know, where Jacob is in Bethel. And we're going to read this because I just want you to have it refreshed in your mind who we are. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth. And its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Spiritual activity. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Same call as Abraham, actually, isn't it? Blessed to be a blessing. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Thus says the Lord, Kingdom Faith Southwest. Amen. Right, so that's the word he brought to us. And he says, you're a gate church. Not all churches. It's not because we can't. Our call is all the same. But we're laying hold and contending for this, that we will be this gateway for the miraculous, this gate of heaven, this open heaven where there's spiritual activity going on. Now, we as believers, there's a right sense in which every one of us as believers are an open heaven. Where you are, your workplace, the people you live amongst, you're the gate of heaven. Spiritual activity, angels ascending and descending, bringing the provision and power of God into people's lives according to our faith. If you believe it, you can have it. But the key to all of this, and we read it just a minute ago, do you remember Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely God is in this place. I didn't even know it. Now, not you, of course, but there are people who kind of come in to us as a church and go again, and God is here, but they don't recognize him. You know, we can be having amazing encounters. You can have a personal, amazing encounter with God on a Sunday morning. The person beside you is stone cold, looking at their watch. God is in this place, but they didn't know it. And the key to really seeing this breakout of miracles and supernatural is knowing who is with us. And, you know, God is here. You know that song, Awesome in This Place? Jesus, you are awesome in this place. When I sing that, yeah, I sing about us as a church, but I also sing it about myself. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. And if we walk around with this consciousness of Christ in us, my gosh, the impossible is not too far away. Jesus said it, didn't he? The secret is this, Christ in you. Just say to the person next to you, the secret is this, Christ in you. Courage to face the impossible comes from knowing Christ in you. Whatever difficult, challenging things that you and I are faced with, the secret is this, Christ in you. And Jesus wants an army of us who believe in Christ in us and really let him be the commander in chief. We sing it, we say it, we pray it, but it will make no difference at all in life unless it's yes, sir. Yes, boss. What you say goes. I'm interested in what you're saying, and what you say, I'll put legs on it. I'll do it. And it not in, I just kind of, one of the few notes I've made, I've written down, not the arm of the flesh. This is not a human ideas, human determination to live, excuse me, for Jesus, but full of Jesus. Full of Jesus. You know, I've said to a couple of people who've kind of, thank you for those of you who've encouraged me this morning, but I've just said, and I truly believe this, when you're squeezed, whatever's in you comes out. For good or for bad, you know. Yes, we have Jesus in our spirits. And I've said this many times, but I'll never stop saying it. Jesus wants to be in more than your spirit. He wants to be in your soul. Even in your physical body. You know, I'm believing for that. You know, like the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out, touched not even his body, his clothing. Power went out of him. There is, I believe, a sense in that the anointing or the power of God can even be on our flesh, so that just a touch of compassion or kindness, there's a transfer. And so this full of Jesus, letting him be himself in us and through us. And I just want to go to John 7. You know all these scriptures really well, but I'm hoping that, and believing that they're going to be fresh and life to you this morning. Jesus said on the last day, that great day of the feast, he stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone in this room thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Let me tell you, the rivers don't flow unless you drink first. You can't have the one without the other. We all want to see more of Jesus. You know, if you've got any kind of heart for God at all, you want to see more of Jesus flow out. But there's got to be a inlet and an outlet. Unless Jesus is flowing in, Jesus certainly won't be flowing out. So it's going to him to drink. And my gosh, the enemy tries to stop us doing that, doesn't he? Oh my. And he's inventive. You know, Ephesians 6 calls him a schemer. He has strategies. Because the last thing he wants is more Jesus influence on you and more Jesus influence out of you. He just wants us to stay full of ourselves, full of our own thoughts, full of our own ways. Because then it's easier for him to influence us, you know. The more of Jesus in you, the less of a handle he can get, you know, less of an influence he can be in your life. And he tries every tactic under the sun. Busyness. My gosh, you know, just it's amazing the kind of stuff we have to do. And there's such a kind of pressure point to it. Well, I just absolutely have to do that. It's unreasonable to think that I shouldn't do that. I have to do that, and I have to do it by this time. Tiredness then comes because we get driven. Distractions galore. Desire for other things. I spoke a little bit about that. I don't know, when was it? A couple of weeks ago. But, you know, these desire for other things, not necessarily wrong things or bad things. They can be good things, you know, but the good things that become a little bit too important and get a little bit too much of us, they become a hindrance. And I've been reading Hebrews for my kind of time of the Lord this month. And I got to Hebrews. Hebrews is a good one. I mean, they're all good, but gosh, you know, when the Lord says do that, read that, the life comes. And we're going to look at Hebrews 12. It says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I've read that, like you've read that, many, many, many times. And you know how you can just read it and kind of gloss over things? And more and more, I'm asking questions. Well, what does that mean? Sin is sin. We know what sin is. The Holy Spirit will push your button when you're in sin. We know. But what are the weights? You know, lay aside sin. Yeah, but lay aside every weight. What are the weights? And straight away, I just heard hindrances. You know, distractions. Things that slow us down. If you think of yourself running in a race, anything that slows you down and hinders your progress makes the race more difficult. And I was thinking about the London Marathon. We all probably, I do not watch it on TV. I might flick it on and flick it off again. But occasionally I might watch, you know, a couple of minutes. I'm not a runner, and I don't find that kind of thing that interesting. But the bit that does interest me is the outfits that people put on to run in. I mean, what is that about? I know that, you know, a lot of people do it for charity, and that is a good thing. But, you know, you have people dressed as pantomime horses, don't you? I mean, the ridiculousness of it. People in penguin suits. I heard, actually, that a whole fire brigade ran in their full equipment, including the breathing apparatus and that whole kit. And that is heavy stuff. And they ran, they were doing that for charity. But can you imagine? I mean, I can't imagine running 26 miles full stop. I'm sure most of you in the room are with me on that one. But imagine running it in an entire fireperson costume. It would be heavy. But the ones who are serious and the ones who care about finishing and the ones who care about, you know, winning the prize, they're in shorts and vest. Come on. They're not, it's like, I want the least, I want to be decent, but the least amount of clothing on as possible. I want to be streamlined. You're not going to catch Mo Farah running the London Marathon in a fire, help me out, fire person. Firefighter's uniform, that's right. Oh no, he would not. Because, you know, he cares. He cares about his finish time. He cares about crossing that line and doing his best. And it reminded me, when I read this, I then went to Philippians 3. You'll know this one well as well, but not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Every one of us in this room have a call. It's a God-given mandate on your life that's absolutely unique to you, because he sees the end from the beginning. He knows who you are, where you're going to live, who you're going to live with. But there's a call to be Jesus in your world. But you know what? It just doesn't happen unless you reach for it. You know, you have the kind of Mo Farah attitude, everything off that's hindering, my eyes on the goal, and I'm going that way. And last night, before I knew that I was doing the message this morning, I just had this phrase come to me, and I wrote it down on my whiteboard in my kitchen. And what I wrote down was, with this in mind, I was thinking about the race, you know, and just having my eye on running his race. And I thought, we get so kind of preoccupied with my concerns are his concern, which is true. You know, he cares about the stuff we care about, the stuff we're going through, he cares. He cares about my concerns. But we need to get to the place where his concerns are my concerns. You know, what matters to him matters to me. It matters to him that people are dying without knowing Jesus, entering a lost eternity. It's on his heart, it's on his mind, and he's seeing it. And his concerns need to be our concerns, you know. I actually went to the gym yesterday. I wouldn't have gone there had I known I'd been doing this. But I was, I'll be honest, this is the first time I've even had this thought. I was just sitting down and on a piece of equipment and just looking around me. And I thought to myself, I mean, it was fairly busy. I just had this thought. I bet there isn't anybody else in this room saved. There could be one, maybe two, but I kind of doubt it. Not a single person here who really care about how they look. That's why they're there, working out. I mean, some are for health. But, you know, some of them, you see them preening themselves and checking themselves out in the mirror. You know, their physical body in this temporary life matters so much to them. And I just had this thought. Where are they heading? You know? If they die without knowing Jesus, we know. Final destination is not one you would ever choose. And I just thought to myself, well, I can't do a Smith Wigglesworth, you know, just kind of stand on a bench and start preaching. I suppose I could, but it's according to your faith. Can't do that. Or a Charles Finney. I think it was him. He went into a factory and just began to preach and people broke down and started to repent. I believe there'll come a day when those sort of things start to happen again. And maybe those days are not too far away. But I thought, I can pray. I can be a light in this place because I am. But I need to be mindful of that. And I can pray for opportunities. And I can be listening to the Lord. You know? But it's just cultivating this closeness to Jesus. And that is something that I'm so set on myself. We have one life, scripture says. You know, every day matters. Number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom. Every day matters. But look, we all believe for a long life. We hope for a long life. But none of us know when our day, yes, Jesus may return in our lifetime, that day. But my goodness, we're all going to face our Maker. And in light of eternity, it's not very long. If you think of it like that. And it's just developing this closeness to him, listening to him, acknowledging, you know, Proverbs 3, acknowledging him in all our ways. And I'm wanting to really cultivate that, just listening, acknowledging him. You know, you wouldn't go through an entire day with your best friend and not say a word, would you? You know, if you think of it like that, that would be just downright rude. But sometimes we do, you know, less and less, praise God. But you know, sometimes we do. We just get so busy with this temporary life, this stuff we can see and hear in the natural realm, and we forget. There's one who's with us all the time, in the car, in the bathroom, on your way to work, at work, he's there. And which leads me on, praise God, to this fresh faith that I got. I love the prayer room in January. For those of you who went, I'm sure you were blessed to set that bit of time aside for the Lord. But one of the promises that was up on the board was what the Lord said to Moses. And you'll know this. He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, I know that scripture, and I believe God is with me. Same as you. You know, you do. You've heard it enough times, and you believe God is with you. But what struck me afresh, really, was this go with you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And I just thought, hang on a minute. This is rest on the go. His quality of life, his rest in the busyness of life. We all have faith that when we finally find the time to sit and have 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is with Jesus, sitting, reading the word or praying, that we can receive his rest at that point. But what I got from that is he wants us to live in the rest and draw from his rest on the go. And I had this thought. Do you remember, those of you who are old enough to remember life before mobile phones? You know, when you just had the one phone in the house, or, you know, if you were more well off, you might have two phones in the house, but they were absolutely stationary. If you wanted to have a conversation, you're attached to the wall. And they used to have these phone seats. Do you remember those? Seats specially designed because you were going to, you know, the likelihood would be you'd want more than a 5-minute conversation. You sit down on the specially designed phone stool or phone seat. And I just thought, hang on a minute. You know, it's not just God in those times. You know, we need to make room for God and have time with him stationary, where we push out the other stuff and just focus in on him. But he goes with us. You know, just like mobile phones. You can pick up your mobile phone and talk to anyone anytime. And that's how it is with Jesus. He goes with us all the time. We can talk to him anywhere, anytime, and his presence goes with us. And his presence gives us rest. For me, I could have a party on that, because we need his rest all day, every day. You know, in the busyness of life, the activities of life and the demands of life. Life is demanding, you know. Whatever kind of phase of life you're in, we all have demands on life, but it's learning to draw in that pressure point, demanding moment, and say, Lord, I need your rest right now. I just draw, and it's a faith thing. I just draw your rest right now. Put my faith in you and hear his voice. Just in these moments throughout the day, incline your ear, listen. I trust that you've received something this morning. We're going to finish with Ephesians 3. For me, these verses in Ephesians 3, 14, I think it is, to 21, they're like my oasis. When I want to just feed and kind of get some refreshing and revived on the inside, I go to these. There are others, but often these verses in Ephesians 3. And it says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Through faith. Christ dwells in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, supersedes it, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And if you've got a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn there, because we can't have all these scriptures on the screen at the same time. It'd be really helpful for you if you've got them in front of you. So Ephesians 3, starting verse 14. And I want, initially, just begin to pray through them yourself. Because, again, you know, like I was saying earlier, you can't bow for the person next to you. You can't bow your knees or your heart for the person next to you. We can only bow our own. But I just want to encourage you just to respond to the Lord this morning by doing this, just praying through it. Grace comes to the humble. If you bow and humble yourself this morning, you're going to receive a new measure of grace. God's ability, people call it the favor of God, and absolutely it is the favor of God. But it's more than that. It's the power of God himself to you. Okay, so just pray through those. The Lord's here. And he will respond to every genuine prayer. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.